This is the KOTO Community Radio News for Monday, April 5th. I'm Julia Caulfield. In today's headlines, San Miguel County shifts level blue restrictions. AHA welcomes a new executive director. Telluride School District discusses future goals and priorities. And a mountain weather forecast. But first, Egnar lost a member of its community over the weekend. Gary Hicks passed away at his home on the evening of Saturday, April 3rd, after a year-long battle with lung cancer. He was 80 years old. Hicks was in the care of Hospice of Montezuma. Ertel Funeral Home will attend to services. Hicks is survived by his wife, Katrina, his children, Randy, Gary Jr., Allison, and Rhonda, and two grandchildren. San Miguel County's level blue COVID restrictions are now more fully aligned with the state's COVID dial. Effective Monday, bars in San Miguel County are allowed to open regardless of whether they serve food or not. Capacity for bars is limited to 25% or 75 people, whichever is fewer, as long as 6 feet distance can be maintained between parties. If a bar is functioning as a restaurant, it may open at 100% capacity, as long as distance can be maintained between parties. Personal gatherings are allowed to occur following Centers for Disease Control and Prevention guidelines. That means following the five commitments and maintaining 6 feet distance from those who are not in your household. Lodging no longer has a household limit per unit. However, it is still capped at 85% occupancy per month. The shift in restrictions went into effect on Monday, April 5th. The AHA School for the Arts has a new executive director. Marty Wollison took over the position on Monday. KOTO News spoke with him about his background, the importance of the arts, and where he hopes to see the AHA go in the future. Hey, Marty, thanks for taking a few minutes to chat with me today.
Oh, I'm super happy to do it. I arrived on Saturday and started today Monday, and I'm thrilled to be here.
On that note, you are new to Telluride, new to this position. Can you share a little bit about where you're coming from and what your background is?
Sure. Well, I'm moving from Washington, D.C. I've been working in the performing arts primarily in university settings for the last 25 plus years. Providing executive and strategic and artistic leadership at those organizations. So multidisciplinary performing arts organizations. And I am super excited to be working for such a creative organization as AHA to provide that kind of opportunity for people to be empowered by the arts, to discover themselves through the arts, and to be in a new place and learn and discover a whole new community.
You have worked at a number of arts organizations across the country. You clearly have a passion for the arts. What drew you to arts in the first place?
Well, my mother was a visual artist, as was my grandmother. And my brother is a drummer, musician. And I think part of it is that I sort of come from a family of creative folks. But also, I was lucky enough to grow up overseas. So I grew up elementary school in Singapore and high school in the Philippines. And part of that experience was constantly being exposed to cultural events, artistic events. And so it just was a part of my experience in growing up. And it's something that I've always loved. And I've, done different types of things in the arts. I did some acting and drawing and writing. But really, in a lot of ways, I am a super appreciative and lover of people who make art and create art. And so I'm sort of the super appreciative audience member in a lot of ways. And I think, part of that is also just embedded in discovery and, growing up overseas and being exposed to the arts and culture. It was just a constant ability to discover, to explore, and also to rethink, who you are as a person and what is possible.
You are newly joining the AHA. It's a big move to come from anywhere to Telluride, especially Washington, D.C. to Telluride. What made you want to join this arts organization?
First of all, it came to my attention, I just loved the name of the school, AHA. And and for me, that sort of says it all, right? This sort of moment of discovery, this moment where you have a new voice, this moment where something is new in your life. But I'm also a lifelong learner, and so I love the fact that AHA School for the Arts provides just a huge, wide variety of classes and workshops and events and exhibitions that allow people of all ages to create and to learn and to discover something about themselves.
Being on day one, I'm sure you're still getting your bearings, but where do you hope to see the AHA go in the next years or decades?
Well, I think at the most basic level, I believe deeply in the value and importance of partnerships. And what I really want to build upon is what AHA has already been doing in terms of developing partnerships with local arts organizations, social educational institutions, and social service organizations. You know, I believe that arts is important and valuable in our lives, and I believe that AHA has is sort of uniquely positioned to make art available to the community in Telluride and to create these opportunities. And I'm really excited about what AHA can do to create a sense of community through the work that we do here.
Your work will undoubtedly keep you busy, but there are so many other things that this town and region have to offer outside of work. What are some of the things that you're really looking forward to get to do in this new place that you live?
Yeah, well, you know, yesterday I did the Jed Wiley Trail, which is absolutely completely gorgeous and stunning. And so automatically, right away, I know that I want to be out hiking and outdoors and enjoying the beautiful environment here. I'm a lifelong swimmer and biker and runner. So again, this is a beautiful place to be doing that. And also, I'm in a part of the world that I really haven't been in before. So I'm just deeply curious about exploring, you know, our region and this area of Colorado and the states that border Colorado.
Well, Marty, congratulations on your new position. Welcome to the community. And I appreciate you taking a few minutes to chat with me today.
Ah, no, I'm super happy to do it. And I'm just thrilled, thrilled, thrilled to be here. So thanks for the chance.
On the day-to-day at school, students move between classes, soaking up knowledge. Teachers foster curiosity and the joy of learning. But outside of that routine, there is planning and strategizing on the district level. At a district accountability meeting last week, Telluride School District Superintendent John Pandolfo shared some of his goals and plans for the district moving forward. He breaks the goals into four broad categories: short-term and COVID response, long-term visioning and strategic planning, relationships and communication, and people and organizational operations. When it comes to the short term, Pandolfo says, of course, the primary goal is getting all students back in the building 5 days a week. But it's also then addressing gaps in learning and achievement, especially caused by the COVID pandemic.
We're doing that every day, but it will be a focused part of our use of our COVID grant funds for staffing for next year.
In the long term, Pandolfo says he wants to look at the academics in the district in general and across grade levels.
I would say top to bottom, front to back.
But it's also looking at different tiers of support for students, both academically and social emotionally.
In terms of our multi-tiered system of supports, what do we do to strengthen what happens in the classroom every day from the teachers who provide that first primary instruction to students? And then what do we do to support the students who, you know, don't have the best success in that primary instruction? And what do we do to support them both in their classroom and then in kind of outside intervention? So that lumps into what's called tier two. And, you know, what kind of diagnostics, local assessment system, various screenings, do we look to put in place?
In addition, he says he wants to help develop technology literacy.
We don't necessarily want students on technology at the level they needed to be last spring and this year. We want to use technology wisely and really make students literate in when it is best to use technology, but make sure that they get the best education with and without the specific technological components.
And Pandolfo notes any bullet point or goal doesn't exist in a vacuum.
I would say any goals that are my goals and or district goals are everyone in the district's goals, and everybody has a piece of it. And it takes a lot of support and working together to do that. So, you know, that's why I decided to come to Telluride, and it's what I'm excited for. So I'm really looking forward to continuing to move on through it.
The Telluride School District may be on spring break during a year that has been full of minute-by-minute decisions and changes, but thoughts and planning for the future are still moving and shaking. The Telluride Mountain Village Owners Association is working towards building more employee housing in the Mountain Village Telluride region.
We've initiated, or at least contacted, surveyors to start the survey process back down in Timberview in the Meadows. We'll need to get the snow will have to melt a little bit more before we can get back there because it's very shaded. But ultimately, it'd be ideal to be able to start construction on those properties, which are four lots down in the Meadows at the Timberview.
That's TMVOA President and CEO Anton Benitez. He adds TMVOA also plans to start working on a parcel in Lawson. Benitez gave the update at a TMVOA board meeting last week. During the discussion, Chad Horning with Telski noted adding more employee housing is a major priority for the resort as well.
Issues around employee housing are they're acute. I mean, we have real quality of life. We're getting into mental health issues. We've got all kinds of issues that are affecting employees and their lack of housing. And so it's just a big priority of mine personally that we be a leader to help figure that out. And for I think TMVOA could be a leader in that as well.
Horning says Telski has started and continued conversations with Telluride, Mountain Village, and others in the region to continue adding more workforce housing. Governor Jared Polis has relaxed Colorado's statewide mask mandate. Under the revision, counties in level green on the state's COVID dial are not required to wear masks. However, jurisdictions are allowed to maintain local mask requirements, and masks must still be worn in all schools and healthcare facilities. Under the revised order, 33 counties in Colorado are eligible to eliminate the mask mandate. This is the first major modification to the mask mandate since Polis first adopted it in July. As San Miguel County is in level blue, the mask mandate remains. In addition, Telluride, Mountain Village, and San Miguel County all have local mask mandates in place. First year and returning students at Fort Lewis College in Durango will have one more item to check off their to-do list before coming to campus this fall. The college announced last week that all students must be fully vaccinated against COVID-19 for the fall 2021 semester. KSUT's Sarah Flower has more.
They're the first higher education institution in Colorado to mandate the vaccine and join only a few other colleges and universities throughout the nation in making this decision now. Protecting students from the virus while still having some sort of normal college experience is top priority for Tom Stridicus, president of Fort Lewis College.
We felt that this was the best way to keep our community safe. We felt that this was the best way to keep our faculty and staff doing their best work. And when I talked to our student government leaders around this decision, they said, what breaks my heart is that a first-year student coming to Fort Lewis College may not have the experience that I had as a first-year student 3 or 4 years ago. And so we get that people might be uncomfortable with this. We get that there might be some concern. But what we showed in our mitigation process was that we were willing to make sacrifices for the greater good. And I think this is a perfect time to do it for our students and for our community.
This isn't the first vaccine that the college requires. FLC has a measles, mumps, rubella, or MMR vaccine policy. And similar to that, Stridicus says that some students may be exempt from the COVID-19 vaccine mandate.
People can file religious, medical, or other ADA exemptions. This COVID vaccine policy will, of course, have those exemptions in it. And, you know, people's reaction to the vaccine, I think, is different today here in April than maybe it was in November.
COVID-19 has disproportionately affected Native American and Alaskan Indian communities throughout the country. Stridicus says part of the college's decision to mandate the vaccine is to help protect the student body, which over 40% of them are Native American.
We also had incredible leadership from Southern Ute and Ute Mountain Ute in our region in terms of their help in vaccinating students who were eligible through Indian Health Services, not only Southern Ute students, but they made their vaccine available to other Native American students from other tribes across the nation, as well as our faculty who work with those students. So the idea of the vaccine and the availability of the vaccine has been socialized in our community, maybe a bit more than others. And I think that helped us, their leadership helped us come to this decision here and today as we made the call to make this move.
While still so much is being learned with this novel virus between the variants and the efficacy of vaccines and how many vaccines are available, Stridicus says he's committed to remaining flexible as information on COVID-19 is ever changing.
Well, I don't know that, you know, being first is always a good thing. So we want to go into this decision knowing that, you know, we're going to learn some things. We may make some mistakes. But we know how quickly all of this can change. And so, you know, if something changes with the variant or if the vaccine proves ineffective, like, we're going to continue to stay on top of this and make adjustments as needed, as we have done throughout the last 12 months.
Reporting for KSUT News, I'm Sarah Flower.
The Colorado House has passed a measure to penalize gun owners who do not call the police when they notice their firearms have been lost or stolen. KOTO's Scott Franz has more.
Democratic sponsors renamed the bill to honor Isabella Joy Thallis. The 21-year-old Denver woman was shot and killed last year by a man using a stolen rifle. Representative Leslie Herod hopes the bill will encourage all gun owners to immediately report their missing weapons.
$25 fine for the first offense. That's it. That's all this bill does. But it honors Isabella's memory and hopefully will change behaviors so we can get a better hold of these firearms that are lost or stolen.
No Republicans are supporting it. They say the bill is unnecessary and overreaching. It is expected to reach the governor's desk this week after a final vote in the Senate. I'm Scott Franz at the State Capitol.
The National Weather Service forecast for the Western San Juans calls for mostly clear skies tonight with a low around 30 degrees. Tuesday, there is a 20% chance of showers with sunny skies and a high in the mid-40s. Tuesday night should be partly cloudy, with a low around 20. Wednesday calls for sunny skies during the day and mostly clear skies at night, with a high near 50 and a low around 25 degrees. This has been the news for Monday, April 5th. Thanks for listening. If you have a story idea or a news tip, call the news team at 728-3206. Kodo News will be scaling back for the next 2 weeks with newscasts on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We will start back with our full news programming on April 19th. And now, a personal commentary.
Hey Kodo listeners, this is Jacqueline.
And Burton.
Reaching out to Dolores, Montrose, Ouray, San Juan, and San Miguel counties.
Attention, all homeowners and renters. We want to make sure you are aware of the SMPA IQ weatherization program available to all income-qualified residents.
This program offers a free energy assessment plus identified weatherization improvements, such as ENERGY STAR-rated refrigerator upgrades, air sealing measures, insulation, furnace, boiler clean and tunes, or replacements, helping you to save money on your utility bills and feel more comfortable in your home. All free to you.
That's a special thanks to Sam McGill Power Association, Black Hills Energy, Energy Outreach Colorado, and EcoAction Partners.
For more information, go to ecoactionpartners.org, click on Programs, SMPA IQ Weatherization, or email Jacqueline at ecoactionpartners.org. That's Jacqueline at ecoactionpartners.org. Or feel free to reach us at 970-728-1340.
Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
Opinions broadcast over KOTO are those of the speakers. You're also invited to express your views after the news or on Access each weekday at around 4 p.m. If you would like to comment, please contact a staff person here at KOTO. We encourage you to speak out on important public issues.